Welcome to the ProWrestling.net free podcast. Today is Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after this very brief break for non-members, my full review of Tuesday's WWE SmackDown Live. SmackDown Live was in Bakersfield, California at Rabobank Arena. I think it's Rabobank. Rabobank? I don't know. We don't have that bank in our area, but that's where they were. And this was a strange show. It was heel versus heel. All sorts of WWE is just infatuated right now, it seems, with the big multi-person matches. I'm not talking singles matches. I'm talking, well, triple threat wasn't enough. The four-way wasn't enough. We now have a five-way main event for the WWE Fastlane show, just as we have the first ever seven-man Elimination Chamber match on the Elimination Chamber show. It's a weird time in WWE. SmackDown, as far as the overall show is concerned, I found it to be a strange show with a couple of heel versus heel matchups, but at the same time, I was entertained by the show. As I noted in my live review, I filled in for Jake Barnett this week. I didn't come away feeling any better about things creatively on SmackDown than I did going in, and I've been pretty down on this show for a while now, but I still, at the same time, found myself mildly entertained. Kind of a mixed bag here. We'll work our way through it. I would say the biggest news coming out of the show is that, yes, indeed, it is a five-way match. It's going to be AJ Styles defending the championship against not only Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but also Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin. So, yes, Dolph Ziggler, who forfeited the U.S. championship, popped up at the Rumble, but otherwise has been away from WWE television for, I think they said, 7 weeks. Somehow he is a challenger for the WWE Championship. Shane McMahon is critical of Daniel Bryan for what he believes is favoritism toward Owens and Zayn, and yet he makes this decision to give Ziggler a chance to be in the championship match. It's something else, but we'll work our way through it. As I mentioned, Jake Barnett, he needed the night off, so we just kind of swapped roles this week. I took the SmackDown Live review, and he will have the WWE SmackDown hit list available on the site on Wednesday, and Jake and I are actually going to get together on Wednesday as well for the .NET Weekly audio show that will be exclusively available to the members of the site, the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. I can finally say we have 10 years of content on the site, because we celebrated 10 years on Sunday, actually. And so no more need to say nearly 10 years of audio content. There's 10 years of audio and print content available at .NET. If you are interested in membership, very simple. Visit our main page, click into the sign-up area, and you're going to find four different pricing options available to you now, including the brand new three-month membership option. The rates start as low as $7.50 for 1 month, but you can knock some off that price by signing up for one of the longer form, either the three-month, the six-month, or the annual option. And as always, if you have any questions, reach out to me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. SmackDown opened with Dolph Ziggler walking out to no entrance music and just kind of standing there on the stage. And then when he started walking, his entrance music played, that same awful theme that they just won't get rid of. So it's the same old Dolph Ziggler. I really don't get it. I mean, you would think they would have something in mind for him when he forfeited a title belt. Like, there had to be some good reason. And I went into the show going, all right, there probably isn't one, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what they come up with. And I guess we'll get to it in a little bit, but didn't come away all that impressed. The broadcast team was Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton. They checked in and hyped the Ziggler and Corbin match and noted that the winner would qualify for the Fastlane main event, and it would be a four-way match. Baron Corbin's entrance music played. He didn't come out. And Ziggler, I thought, did a good job. He walked over to, I think it was the ring announcer, and you could kind of see, like, what the hell? It was basically the expression he was giving. And the broadcast team chalked it up to Corbin playing mind games with Ziggler, but then his music played again, and he didn't come out. And they cut backstage to where Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were beating up Baron Corbin. And Owens said, one down, one more to go. And then Owens and Zayn headed to the ring. And Ziggler did put up a bit of a fight, but he was outnumbered. And they ended up leaving him lying. Corbin ran back out and hit Owens with a forearm, but Owens and Zayn quickly outnumbered him as well. And then we saw WWE producer Adam Pearce and a couple of referees intervene, and they went to a commercial break. During the break, they showed us an ad for the chamber, and it is officially seven men. I've had people ask me, how is this going to work? I assume it's as simple as three men start the match while the other four are in the chamber pods. I guess there's nothing stopping them from cramming two people into one pod, as awkward as that would be. But that is my guess as to how they're going to handle that. I don't think they've officially clarified. But the opening match was Charlotte Flair defeating Sarah Logan. Logan came out with Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, the Riott Squad members. And Charlotte was just about to start the match when Becky Lynch came out. And then she was joined by Naomi, so they were in her corner. And it was Charlotte winning this non-title match in 10:15. This went longer than I expected. It wasn't a bad match. Logan had some good moments and a couple of clunkers, but I thought for the most part did a pretty good job. There just were a couple of weird moments. She applied the Cobra Clutch in a very awkward fashion, and a couple of other things that stood out during the match, but I was pleasantly surprised the match went as long as it did. The idea is that Charlotte wants to get some revenge on Riott Squad, I guess. I don't even remember for what. She beat Liv Morgan last week. She beats Logan in this match, and she made it clear that we kind of heard Kevin Owens say it in Charlotte's case, two down and one to go is what the way she explained this. She ended up winning with a natural selection. We haven't seen her use that as the finisher in a while. It worked pretty well. I'm not a big fan of that move just because it looks like you're bending your opponent into a basic yoga stretch position that I'm sure all wrestlers can get into. But in this case, it was preceded by a backbreaker. And then driving Logan's face into the top turnbuckle. And so it was just kind of a cool sequence the way she got there. So Charlotte goes over. Then we go backstage where Shane McMahon is basically yelling at Daniel Bryan, who just kind of stood there and took it this week, asking if Owens and Zayn are really the type of champions he's looking for. I think Bryan tried to speak once and Shane just talked right over him. And he said that Corbin and Ziggler were still banged up but wanted competition. I'm like, okay, well, good. Just start the match then, let them rest and have the match. No, that would be normal logic. Shane announced that Baron Corbin would face Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler would face Sami Zayn later in the show. And he said that if either Corbin or Ziggler win, they will be added to the Fastlane main event. So at this point in the show, we're like, all right, could be a triple threat, could be a four-way, could be a five-way. And he added that if Owens and Zayn interfered in the other's match, they would be out of the main event. So it could be a triple threat, I guess. Well, I don't even know how that would have worked if Owens and Zayn had interfered, but they ended up helping their partner win. Maybe AJ would just go to the ring and stand there and hold up the championship belt. Speaking of AJ, no appearance on SmackDown this week. I mean, not the end of the world. Sometimes it's a good thing that you make your audience miss your champion or one of your top stars. We didn't see Nakamura either. So just kind of a strange week where it was heel heavy. And I guess maybe Ziggler is a babyface now? I don't even know. And the only thing Daniel Bryan said after Shane McMahon was done with his speech was, okay, that was it. It was a nice night for Daniel Bryan. I would hope that this was taped last week, but given the way they write this show on the fly, I'm guessing they flew him in to be interrupted once and then say, okay. What a great gig if you can get it. They had a Black History Month video that aired, and then in the second match, it was Baron Corbin defeating Kevin Owens in 11:05 to earn a spot in that championship match at Fastlane. This, it was kind of fun to watch these matches just from this standpoint, that it's heel versus heel. There's Corbin's been a definitive heel. Ziggler, I don't think anyone knows what the hell he is at this point, but Owens, he's clearly a heel, and so it's like, what's the crowd going to do here? And in both cases, the crowd came around, in this one, the main event, they really ended up cheering for Ziggler. It took some time, but they got there. And this one, I wouldn't say they really openly cheered for Corbin as much as they just got into the action. And Corbin ended up hitting End of Days and pinning Owens clean to earn his spot in the match. Then we had, I guess this was the new top 10 list. I don't even know what changes there were from last week. The top 10 list that they listed was Styles, Charlotte, Shinsuke, Naomi, Bobby Roode, New Day, The Usos, Becky Lynch, Randy Orton, and 10 being, of course, Ty Dillinger. I don't know, was this the same list that they put out last week? I'm not even sure. I don't even care because this list is ridiculous, even though they actually put it to use. We'll get to that in a little bit. In fact, right now, because Bobby Roode's open challenge was coming up after the commercial break, and he said that he wants to surpass John Cena. In order to do that, he needs to take a page out of his playbook via the open challenge. And he said that the challenge is open to anybody, but he really hoped that the person who took it would actually meet him face to face rather than deliver an RKO out of nowhere. So basically he's calling out Randy Orton, and sure enough, Orton made his entrance, but before they could go at it, Jinder Mahal and whichever the Singh brother is who's healthy, I meant to look it up and I forgot, but Jinder and the Singh brother, because the other one's out with, I think, a torn Achilles? I don't recall. But Jinder and the Singh were out. Jinder taunted Randy Orton about being ranked number 9 in the top 10 list, and Mahal said that the rest of the SmackDown roster thinks that Orton has already peaked. Orton took the mic and said he doesn't give a damn about top 10 lists and never will. God bless him for that. Mahal continued to taunt Orton about how Rude finished higher than he did even, and the fans were chanting for an RKO. Mahal said he respects Orton, but Rude fancies himself as a future legend killer. And then Rude pointed out that Mahal isn't even on the list and said it's because no one respects him. Rude said that he respects Orton, but perhaps the reason he finished so low in these rankings is because people are tired of him attacking them out of nowhere. And he said, like when I do this, and then he just dropped the Singh brother with an RKO. Mahal ended up hitting Orton and Rude with his Colossus finisher, and so Jinder Mahal stood tall at the end of this. I don't know if they're setting up a triple threat. I'm not quite sure where this is going. Decent segment, decent use of that awkward, awful top 10 format that they came up with. I like the idea of a top 10 ranking. I really do. I just thought it was going to be, hey, this is the WWE Championship list. And the moment they started with Ty Dillinger at 10, I'm like, oh boy, this is just corny right from the get-go. And then they added tag teams and women and the champions. I'm like, what is this? And so basically, I mean, does a heel have any hope of cracking the list? And if they do, or if they don't, I should say, why is that? You look at the roster and it's pretty much split in terms of baby faces and heels, so the heels aren't allowed to vote for themselves, so who are they voting for, the baby faces? It doesn't make any damn sense. I really wish it would have been a top 10 challenger for the WWE Championship list, and eventually you want to come up with one for the women, the tag teams, whatever, so be it. I mean, there's not enough tag teams to go 10 deep, but I mean, they could have done top 5 for some of the other divisions, but in this case, I just roll my eyes at this format. I mean, seriously, it's a popularity contest amongst, you know, a fake popularity contest, with the idea being that the wrestlers backstage vote for who has the most school spirit, SmackDown spirit, or I don't even know what the hell this is, but at least they put it to use. It was obvious last week that, you know, when the broadcast team reacted the way they did to Randy Orton being listed number 9, it's like you knew they were going to do something with that, and so they at least tried to do something here. Corey Graves gave as much hype to Ronda Rousey signing a Raw contract at Elimination Chamber as they pretty much did on all of Raw on Monday night, which was bizarre. Not that they did it here, but that, all it was the graphic was shown and Graves talked about it, and they did a little more than that on Raw on Monday. I mean, Angle mentioned it in passing before talking about Jason Jordan, and then they took the same approach with the graphic later in the show. I just think Graves probably talked more about it than anyone did on Raw, and so it felt like a little bit, it actually felt like a little bit more to me. Just so strange. Like, SmackDown's not disappointed. Raw doesn't seem excited. It's just, well, she's going to be on Raw. Everyone accept it, and that was that. One of the first things I noticed on Tuesday morning when I woke up was that, oh God help us, it's Pancake Day. I saw it on Twitter as something that was trending, and I'm like, oh boy. Because immediately I thought, new day, it's Tuesday, SmackDown, God help us. And sure enough, they did a skit on Pancake Tuesday. So Pancake Day, whatever the hell this is. And Woods and Big E said that, Woods said that, Xavier Woods said Big E was going to break the record for eating the most pancakes. I think they said 108 pancakes in 8 minutes or something. They had a timer on the screen for this, and he just started to shove a bunch in his mouth when Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin ended up interrupting the contest and told New Day that they could leave the tag titles to serious contenders. And Woods took issue with them claiming New Day are not serious, and this led to Gable and Benjamin throwing some pancakes around. They dropped a couple on the floor, and then they threw a tray, and Big E had to be held back by his teammates going into a commercial break. And this led to the match we already knew was going to happen because it was advertised. Big E and Kofi Kingston beat Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. They got a little creative with the finish here in that I think they tried to protect Gable and Benjamin to a point, because Xavier Woods, who was in the corner, ended up climbing up onto the ring apron, and it distracted the referee long enough that he didn't actually see Gable making a tag to Benjamin. And because he missed this tag, Gable was then forced to stay in the ring, and he ended up taking the midnight hour and being pinned. So I would assume we're going to see a rematch soon, and I don't know. It just doesn't feel like they're going anywhere with Gable and Benjamin, unfortunately. Backstage, Renee Young interviewed Dolph Ziggler. I'm like, here we go. Let's figure out, or let's find out what it is they're going to claim was the reason for all of this. You know, give us something. What's the storyline going to be? And so, and it starts, I was happy, like, I thought maybe they're just going to ignore it or something, but she actually started right out by bringing up that he relinquished the title or whatever weird you, I think they had some weird word that they're using for him dropping the title, and but she, you know, brought up him dropping that title and disappearing, and Ziggler said he knows he needs to be more selective when it comes to picking his spots. That was it. Wow. He said, here we go again, I have another opportunity. He talked about how he loves what he does, and it's about doing what he was put on the planet to do. He said, no one can do what he does, so we're back to that again, and no one outshines him. Just win. He said that no one knows better than Owens and Zayn, and they know he won't be stopped. Do they not watch the show? You get stopped all the time, Dolph. Ziggler said he's back for one thing, and that's eluded him his entire career. He wants to main event WrestleMania. I just about spit my water out when he said that. And he'll be damned if he doesn't walk in as WWE champion. Well, Dolph Ziggler's about to be damned, folks, because I don't think he's walking into WrestleMania as champion. So they just dance around the fact that he abandoned the U.S. title. No explanation for that. No discussion about where he's been. No new mission statement aside from he wants to headline WrestleMania, and it's an empty one because he can't. I mean, he shouldn't. And, I mean, could they shock us and have him do it? Sure. Would it be a mistake? Yes. I don't think that's going to happen. And once WrestleMania comes and goes and he's still on the air, then what? He's sticking around just for next year's WrestleMania in hopes that he'll headline that show? This was bad. I was disappointed by this. I didn't have my hopes up because I just figured, like, they don't have a good explanation here. And they didn't. And they didn't find a way to kind of repackage him. Nothing. I mean, it's the same damn awful entrance theme that they just won't give up on. It's so bad. Dolph Ziggler's a talented guy. Don't get me wrong. I just think that this whole thing with him, his character outshining and being the best in the ring when you see him lose all the time, none of it rings true. It's been a mess. And I keep waiting for them to write this somehow. And they just don't. WrestleMania's video aired 54 days away from Dolph Ziggler not headlining the biggest show of the year. Then we had an Usos backstage promo. They did the stupid SmackDown word graphics again as they said keywords. This time, just as they were wrapping up the promo, all of a sudden we saw a television screen shatter. And my first thought was, what is this, one of their, you know, for a millisecond, I'm like, is this one of their goofball graphics again? No, this was actually, we saw the Bludgeon Brothers smashing a backstage monitor that this was airing on. I thought that was a nice touch. And then they just stood there with those giant hammers and didn't say anything. So, yes, we're clearly moving toward that Usos and Bludgeon Brothers match. It's been obvious, and I'm looking forward to that. In the gorilla position, Kevin Owens told Sami Zayn he can't lose because it would hurt their chances at Fastlane, and he said, don't let me down. Zayn, it seemed like they were on the same page earlier, but he told Owens, there's no we in the championship match. It's every man for himself. And then he made his entrance, and Ziggler walked out. Same entrance as before. No music. He comes out, he's holding his neck to sell the injury from earlier. And then as soon as he starts walking, they play that god-awful theme music that just won't go away. Tom Phillips, they went to a commercial break before the match actually started. Tom Phillips announced Charlotte, Naomi, and Becky Lynch against Riot Squad next week. So I guess we're going to have to wait to see Charlotte plow through the third member of Riot Squad, Ruby Riott. Didn't she already beat her? Or am I thinking of maybe Naomi or Becky Lynch did? I'm not quite sure, but I guess that's the one that they're holding off on. Maybe they'll give Ruby a win over Charlotte in this match to kind of try to make that seem like a bigger match, or maybe even to create a reason for it to be a title match. But in the fourth match, it was Dolph Ziggler beating Sami Zayn in 16:10, so he earns a spot in the WWE Fastlane main event. Yes, indeed, it is a five-way match. But it was a 16-minute and 10-second match. Crowd, once again, very slow in terms of getting into this. I thought Sami Zayn did a really effective job as a heel of getting the fans to boo him, which ultimately kind of helped Ziggler be the babyface by default, along with some of Ziggler's good offense. You know, the fans were slow to really respond to Dolph. Not that he was playing to them much early on, but as the match went on, and Zayn just was getting under their skin, and at the same time, Dolph is performing the flashy offense, the fans started to get into it. It was a good quality match, no doubt about that. We even saw, what was it, a exploder suplex off the ropes. It was kind of crazy. But in the end, Zayn went for a haluva kick. Ziggler ended up catching him with a super kick instead and then pinned him. So plenty of near falls. There was some good stuff in this match. And yeah, it did seem like Ziggler, with help from Zayn, ended up winning this crowd over by the time the match was over. So maybe he's going to be a babyface. I don't know. That's the thing. It was hard to tell from that speech that he gave. They could use a babyface in this match other than AJ Styles. I mean, right now it seems like it's AJ against four heels, which is weird. But, I mean, as Sammy said, it's every man for himself. But still, seems a little bit awkward. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Not that I'm all anxious to find out where things stand with Dolph Ziggler. Maybe at this point you acknowledge that, he just kind of blew off Renee Young as she tried to ask about it. So maybe it's just time for everyone to forget that he relinquished the U.S. title and disappeared for all but 1 out of 7 weeks and just move on. But I'd still say change the damn entrance theme. Just shake things up with Dolph Ziggler. We've just been seeing this act for so long, say the same things and feeling sorry for himself. And it really does just feel like there's so much talent there. But they have to turn the page on this. What they're doing with him has not worked. And maybe this time around, maybe they do have some new things in mind. I don't know. But I don't even know if he's a babyface permanently or if it's just because he was facing Zayn. So we have to wait and see. But again, a weird episode of SmackDown, light on babyfaces of all things. But I came away entertained by the show, so at least there's that. And before I go, I do like to, on Tuesdays when I do this, every Tuesday night for the .NET members, they get the SmackDown audio review. I try to give them a little warning that I'll be talking about the Mixed Match Challenge. I don't know how many of you actually avoid spoilers on this, but some of you may. I know it doesn't air I think it only airs in the U.S. or North America, I'm not sure, on Facebook Live. And so some of you guys see it on delay on YouTube or on the WWE Network, and so now I'm just babbling on, hoping you'll get the clue that, hey, if you haven't seen it and you actually, you're worried about spoilers, you'll check out, because this is the only thing I'll talk about here to wrap things up. All right, I think I've given you a sufficient amount of time. It was, of course, right after SmackDown is when this took place. Your broadcast team was Michael Cole, Corey Graves, and Beth Phoenix. And with doing the SmackDown live coverage, I was a little bit, and I actually had a temporary computer glitch, so I was a little bit late getting to this. So I didn't, if there was anything interesting in the opening or the entrances, I'm sorry, I just didn't get to see it. But the match itself was Rusev and Lana defeating Elias and Bayley in 9 minutes and 35 seconds. It was Lana actually scoring a pin. Bayley was about to go, I'm guessing, well, I think the idea was that she was setting up for her finisher on Lana from the ropes when she got distracted by Elias and Rusev fighting, and that allowed Lana to slip out from under Bayley and then kind of pull her legs out from under her, which caused Bayley's head to go into the turnbuckle, and Lana ended up pinning her. And they made a big fuss over this being Lana. Cole said he thought it was Lana's first win in WWE. And, of course, Rusev was very happy. He did try to, he did the Lana is the best, Lana's number one song. He did that, early on, and the crowd really didn't seem to join in with him. It seems like everything this guy says comedically is, turning to gold right now. But that one didn't catch on with this crowd. But they were still right there with Rusev Day Chance, and they were into him. Rusev and Lana, just with Rusev alone, I thought I would have enjoyed this more. Mixed match challenge has been, especially the last 2 weeks, has been pretty lighthearted, with Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss having their moment, and then Goldust last week with Mandy Rose and Jimmy Uso and Naomi was kind of fun. And this was just, I don't know, it was there. But Rusev and Lana go over, and I'm not really, this was the one match that I wasn't sure necessarily who they would put over. I just guess if I had to place a wager on it, not that I would, but if there was, not that you can on something like this, but I would have gone with Rusev and Lana simply because they're on SmackDown and the show is filmed right after SmackDown, and so it's not going to eliminate everyone from Raw, but when push comes to shove, I would think that, yeah, chances are in most cases the SmackDown talent is going to go over so they don't keep the Raw talent out there on the road for another day. So Rusev and Lana advance. Next week's match is going to be Charlotte and Bobby Roode facing Nia Jax and Apollo Crews. So that will be next week. And Crews is a replacement. At one point, Enzo Amore was scheduled to be in the match, and then it wasn't actually because of everything that led to his termination from WWE or being released from WWE. It was that he had the flu, and it was really weird that, like, well, they're not, you know, you don't need to dive into this right away. I didn't understand, really. I thought maybe there was a bunch of pre-tapes that he was missing out on or something, but there hasn't been anything like that. So I don't know what, maybe they just didn't, there was a change in plans and they didn't want to have him and Nia together on this show. I don't know. Going back that far, I'm not sure what the mindset of this was, but that's why Crews is teaming with Nia Jax. And once again, looking ahead to the match, I'm going to go with the SmackDown team to go over in this one. I'm guessing it'll be Roode beating Crews. So we'll see. That'll be next week's Mixed Match Challenge. But that's going to do it for now, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. It's good to be back with you guys here on the free podcast side. And no, we're not doing daily audio anymore. There's a reason, and you'll find out why coming up soon. I'll just leave it at that. You will still hear things like the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast and the occasional television review set like this one. Know that the .NET members hear my SmackDown audio review every Tuesday, my Raw audio review after the show on Monday, of course. John Moore's 205 Live review, they hear that on Wednesday morning. The NXT audio review that John does. The Ring of Honor audio review that Hayden Gleed does. My Impact Wrestling audio show most weeks, though John is actually filling in for me this week. So all the major television shows are reviewed in audio form for the members each and every week, along with all the major pay-per-view events. So again, if you're interested in membership, simply visit our main page and click into that sign-up area for all the details. And again, if you have any questions, reach out to me on Twitter @ProWrestlingNet. Until next time, everybody, take care.